Okay, I'd like to call this meeting to order. Holly, can we get a roll call, please?
All right, this is the July 14, 2026 Parks and Recreation C Committee meeting. Candace Rutledge.
Present.
Steve Black. Brandon Marks.
Here.
Manoj Batar.
Here.
And Ben is unable to attend, and Catherine isn't present at this moment.
Okay. Holly, are we good to continue without?
We are. We need a quorum of four, which we have.
Okay. On to agenda changes. Item B, discussion of the draft Sitka Marine Trails design narrative needs to be pulled due to Ben's absence. He was going to do the presentation for this. So we'll be moving that to the next month's meeting. Are there any other agenda changes? Okay, I am not seeing any or hearing any. Now we are at persons to be heard for public participation on any item off of the agenda, not to exceed 3 minutes. Is there any public comment for items off the agenda? Okay, I'm not seeing any for items off of the agenda. Okay. KK has arrived.
Circles trying to find any place to park. So I can go a long ways away and bike in, but it's where we are.
We do have a forum. Thanks, KK. Okay. We are now at approval of minutes. We'll have to text KK if we finish early and she's not back. We're at approval of minutes for the June 9th, 2026 meeting. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
I move we approve the minutes as written.
Second.
Is there any public comment on the minutes? Okay, seeing none. Is there any committee discussion? Okay. Holly, can I get a roll call vote?
On the motion to approve the minutes, Brandon Marks.
Yes.
Manoj Batar.
Aye.
Steve Black.
Yes.
Candace Rutledge.
Aye.
The motion passes 4-0 on item A.
Thank you, Holly. Okay, we are now at reports. I have nothing to report. Do we have anything from our members?
I just bring this up, I guess, for the sake of the order and upper molar. I've noticed, and some people have been commenting that who are using the field, that it's just really laying down more and more, as we've all kind of noticed over time. And I don't know what the practice is, but I haven't conferred with you guys yet. But I just think the more we can brush it and get it to where it's standing up again, it'll be softer because it is hardening. It's really noticeably hardening in the infield in particular. And so anyway, those are my comments, and whatever the tools are, maybe it's the brush, maybe it's more sand, I don't know, but conferring with maybe Don McClintock or whoever that was up north. Anyway, something, just whatever we can do to maintain it. Obviously, we don't want to be, the longer we can let that last, the better for everyone. So just noticing the hardening of it, that's all.
Can I speak on that, or?
Manoj, did you have a comment, and then we can get city staff?
It was just a follow-up question.
I just had a follow-up question to Brandon Kent about that. Is like now an appropriate time?
Okay, let's allow.
This is maybe a little thing, but would it be like useful if when we play soccer, like to play on different parts of the field? I don't know if like it's a lot of wear at one spot, probably, but I don't know. It's also right field, so.
Yeah, it is laying down in the outfield. That's usually where softball or soccer is, but that I'm noticing it in the infield primarily. And so that's not really any other use other than, the softball and baseball uses. So it's just a thing to be aware of. That's where like most of the activity is and kind of injuries would be occurring. And so, the more we can make this last, the better. And but yes, the outfield too, it's good for soccer, everyone. The more we can get that to stand back up, because it's just laying down flat, I've noticed. Like it used to be like grass-like.
Yeah.
And the like brush used to kind of like refresh it in a way. And so I don't know if we can get I've been up north to Bartlett, and that is much softer, and it was built at the same time. It is a different feel on that field, and it's just I think the way that they're doing things. So that's all I got.
City staff.
Yeah, Kent Smith, grounds maintenance. I do have some stuff, and I'll get to the chem sham. I added that to my notes here. Actually, I'll start with that. So we do have a brush that we can pull behind with our Bobcat side by side. However, the Bobcat has some maintenance issues right now, so we haven't been able to get out there and brush it. But we do have a PM, so we could maybe try pulling it with a four-wheeler, see how that does. Which I can maybe try that this week and give it a shot. We have a brusher that also has the thatcher, and it's got the aerator. We don't have to put the aerator down. You only want to aerate it twice a year. But as far as the brushing goes, that's something we could be doing weekly, monthly, or as needed. But with the Bobcat being broke down, it's a little bit trickier. But I can try using a four-wheeler and see how that works. Yeah, so we'll get on that. Outside of that, we did get the new Kim Sham scoreboards. They showed up last week, and Connor is out until Friday, so on Monday I'll chat with him and we'll see what it's going to take to get those installed, whether that's going to be us or a contractor. Then I'm currently working with Game Time to get some replacement parts for the playgrounds. The community playground has that broken stepper. It's not completely unfunctional, but it is concrete that has broken. So over time, it's just going to continue to crumble. So I'm looking at replacement steppers that we can take that concrete, broken concrete one out and replace. And then probably over time, as the other ones break, we'll probably just go with these replacement steppers, as well as the broken slide at Lower Molar. I've got a quote for that. And so working to get some replacements to fix up the playgrounds a little bit. As for dragging the baseball fields, I'm going to be getting my temps trained up on using the dragger. I have my two crew can drag, but one of them is going to be out for a month. So I want to make sure that with mud ball coming up, if we have the ability to drag those fields more consistently, that we'll be able to do that. Now that we are in the new fiscal year, I have funding available to get a new drag for all the dirt fields. So I will be starting the process of looking what it's going to take to get that piece of equipment. Hopefully get something that can maybe be better than what we currently have with what we have. I do have some thank yous to give out to Sail and the Rotary Club. Went to Goddard last week and did a couple days of work out at Goddard and Tom Young Cabin. And I'm still waiting to hear how that went, but hopefully they were able to get a lot done. I know I purchased a bunch of lumber for them to replace some of the deck boards and whatnot. And then we have a volunteer group that will be doing some work up at Pioneer Park, I think next week. So I'm going to try to coordinate with them, figure out what their game plan is and what kind of supplies I can give to them. And then that's pretty much it. I'll be looking for a new custodian in the middle of August. So if anybody wants to work from August to October-ish, I'll be looking for a bathroom cleaner. So.
Kevin Knox, Parks and Rec Manager. A few things on program that we've got going on right now. We're in our second week of summer camp, and that's been pretty exciting for all these kids. They're having a really great time. We've got one more week of that. July swim lessons. We have end of July group lessons that have opened up for registration. Those are slowly filling up. Actually, not so slowly, they're pretty rapidly filling up. So, those are very popular. We've offered more swim lessons than we've offered in the last 3 years this summer. So we're pretty excited about that. Everything from group and private lessons. Fall programming is kind of getting ready to spool up with our after school program. City League will start in October. And then softball association's kind of starting to get out onto all fields, sort of not using that lower men's field all that much because of its condition, but they're using that upper men's or upper co-ed field. And speaking of that, we will probably be locking those gates just for a short period of time. Softball's requested that that those get closed down so that they can keep them clean. For a tournament that they're gonna that they'll hold. We'll get more information out about that when that time comes up. Master plan of the contractor was selected and has been engaged and the contract's been signed. The surveys and public meetings will start sometime in September and October, including some engagement with this committee. Tonight's agenda of the assembly includes a additional request for funds of 20,000, maybe hopefully more. The quote on the master plan came in at a low end of 61,000 plus, with a kind of a deluxe package of 76,000. The Recreation Foundation currently has about 35, maybe a little bit more. 35,000. So they're engaged in some fundraising and also asking for the city to pitch in a little bit more. Currently, the city is in for 14.9. So to get a 60 plus thousand dollar master plan for just a little over 35,000 of its own, or actually just a little under of 35,000 of its own funds would be pretty spectacular. A few facility things. Kent mentioned the Pioneer Park cleanup. That's a partnership with Outer Coast College and their summer high school program, and the AARP Community Action Team and the Sick Recreation Foundation are all kind of teaming up to bring volunteers in and do a little cleanup there, mostly at the main shelter and maybe a little bit at some of the other picnic sites too. So, chlorinator was just brought online, the new one for the pool, and that's been a good thing because the old one was extremely tired and undersized. So this one is much more robust and is doing a great job already. They've got it kind of calibrated, and the pool seems to be staying balanced. So we're very excited about that. Head lifeguard was brought on board. So we finally have that position filled. So Rachel doesn't need to be at the pool 7 days a week. But you know, obviously really good there. She's also researching getting a new diving board because the old one, again, tired, old, and has some safety concerns that are going to start developed. So we want to get a new one in there. And then also we have the dollars for refurbishing the accessibility bathroom that is in pr some pretty rough shape, and we'd like to spruce it up a little bit for all those that utilize that. So that's all I have.
Thank you, Kevin. Assembly liaison.
No comments. Thank you.
Do we have any other reports? Okay, I think we can move on to New business, because we have moved that item B to the next agenda because Ben is presenting and he's not present. So our new business, discussions, recommendation for off-leash rule change for Keet Gushihin and Velandry Fields. Kevin has an introduction for this item for us.
Sure. So as you guys discussed at the last meeting, there was a recommendation to make Keet and Velandry Fields off-leash or off-limits to off-leash dog use during certain times of the year, primarily during the baseball season. I put together the rule and have brought this back to the committee to finalize the time frame, because that wasn't made totally clear to me as it, during the what time of the year exactly you would like to see those fields made off limits. As you know, within code, the Parks and Rec manager and the administrator, under recommendation of this committee, has the authority to make this a rule change for these areas, and does you know that then doesn't need to go in front of the assembly unless called for. Just because it's a time limited change, it's not a you know a complete ban on those areas. So within the recommendation of the committee, I came up with the closure window of March 15th through June 30th. That was to allow a little bit of time before the actual season starts for the fields to kind of recover, you know, condition wise, and then also hopefully some of the any leftover waste that isn't picked up is mitigated that way, and then generally their season ends at the end of June. Unless there's an all-star season or something like that. Some teams do use it, some those two fields beyond that, but not very often. So those were the windows that I came up with. So just looking for a recommendation from the committee to either accept or modify those. And then the rule will go to the administrator for final sign off, and we'll implement them. And that implementation will be in the form of some new signage and some enforcement from PD and the ACO when the season starts. So our plan, and I've talked with the chief of police about this a little bit, our plan is to do a pretty heavy initial education engagement with the public at those fields. And then move into fines if necessary. And in the first year, try to really make it a heavy one. And then hopefully that helps people just kind of spread the word. And years after that, we won't have to do so much enforcement.
Question. Hi, this is Brandon Marks. So what's that?
Now we're at first committee discussion. So we can discuss amongst ourselves and make a possible motion, and then we'll have public comment.
All right. So I wasn't here for the last discussion of this, but I was glad to hear that it was brought up. Just a couple of thoughts. I'll talk to the temporal issue in a second. But first, I just anecdotally, you know, I mean, I'm out there a fair amount. I'm not as much as a lot of people, but you know, I personally witnessed, you know, I'm out there on the softball field and during this period right now, it was fairly recently, which would be outside of that time frame, you have, you know, adult softball going on, and during the game, I mean, people bring their dogs to practice, and so they'll let their dogs just run all over the fields while they're at their adult practice, and the dogs are having fun. I mean, they're fetching balls, but they're also not attended to. So they're likely defecating and doing their business. And, you know, I'm not for everyone. I'm sure some of them are diligent about picking it up, but it's not, we all know from all of the evidence of waste out there that that's not the case. So I mean, in its blatant disregard of the signage and everything else that says you shouldn't have the dogs out there, but it happens fairly frequently. I've noticed, like, during practices mainly, not during games, but they'll be out there just hitting BP, and so that happens. So it's something to be aware of. And I don't know, you know, what, I mean, it would just take anyone just walking through there with any kind of enforcement capability to kind of address that. But so that's one thing. The other thing is temporarily, I guess I would just think of widening that just a little bit, just to help mitigate. But I don't know, honestly, maybe Steve, you could, or someone else that knows the schedule a little better. Because I know the time of year with snow this year, I mean, they weren't out there at all, but you know, I mean, this was an anomalous year. And, you know, I think, you know, Little League has their tryouts like in February. And as soon as they have tryouts, if you have a diligent coach, they'll be out practicing. So there's a chance they'd be there a little earlier than maybe that schedule. And if we want like a month buffer, we just should take that into account. Those are my only thoughts. But
I was thinking April through, but I did like mid-March. Most of the games are starting, the practice are starting about the beginning of April. So practices, if you're there by the beginning of March or by mid-March, that gives Little League tries to put the parents together, go clean the fields up before everything starts up. So mid-March would be okay. I would like to see it extended a little farther, but I don't know if Keat Fields are being used much outside of Little League, are they? Does anybody know?
Just adult softball is
my name. They use the Keat Fields? Adult softball use the Keat?
Oh, Keat? Oh,
yeah. Yeah, these are Keat Fields.
Right. Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought you were saying Kim Chan.
Keat Fields are Little League T-ball.
Yeah.
And over the last couple of years, we don't get reservations for you.
So,
go ahead.
I think that those dates were based off, was that like Savannah? Were those the dates that she suggested? She was here when we were talking about it, and I think she's doing a lot of the Little League stuff.
I didn't get those recommendations necessarily. I took what generally happens with the reservations with both of those fields and backed it out about 30 days.
Yeah, times have changed. I mean, because when I coached in Little League and was involved, we literally started in February. I mean, we got early tryouts and we were out there. Of course, we were under covered areas and stuff because of the weather. But I mean, it's just different now. Everyone starts later and doesn't practice as much. So,
I thought I read in the packet that one of the it did state several times, it seemed like that baseball was the priority or the recreational activity that it was designed for was the priority and things could change through time. So if we set dates, how do you envision being able to change through time? If, because I think that kind of relates to what we're talking about now, if it's assigned for a certain time frame, but yet you start getting a certain number of requests for the field, how do we meet those needs?
Because it's a rule change, it could be, you know, a bit more flexible, but I think we need to be able to give something that's certain to people, to the community, and, you know, has those guardrails on it. And then we're able to actually create that signage too, so that those expectations are well known. I mean, over the past 3 years, you know, we haven't seen a lot of change, like a lot of change in the scheduling necessarily, other than the snow this year. But, you know, that's just kind of one of those things. And, you know, this closure would help with that anyway.
I personally wouldn't mind seeing them off there longer, but as a compromise, I'm good with the dates you have, mid-March to through June. That takes care of the Little League season anyways. We could worry about if we can find a place to make a dog park, with lots of room in the future, which was discussed last meeting, that'd be great. But for now, as a compromise, I'm good with your time frame.
Was the Little League tournament into July this year, though?
That was the All-Star tournament, yeah.
That was on Moeller now, but it used to be, you know, different fields. But
the lowest they go on for the All-Stars is minors, and minors are practicing up at Valandry now. So they don't really use the Keat unless someone decides to do one over there. But they pretty much still have Valandry they use, and then the minors can use Moeller if it's available. But for the most part, they'll have Valandry.
One more thing, I think, if I remember, that I'm not sure I see it in here, is did we talk about like getting a better fence mechanism for that Mill Street or for that Kiku Shaheen Park? Because right now it's, I think last, during that meeting, they were saying like a lot of the dogs in that area will just kind of come in there and go to the bathroom there. But those, I think you can, yeah, you can like just, there's no lock or there's no gate or anything on the dugout. So dogs can just go in and out. Maybe just something to think about.
If you do that, then you have to fence the whole place in because they're going to go around anyways.
Isn't that the only?
Isn't it open the backside? I think the whole outfield's open.
It's fenced off.
Is it a well? Okay, there.
But there's areas that are open that right now, and so it would need to be a direct, like a short fence in the middle.
I think, yeah, I think the dugouts and then the southern field has an opening, but the back is fenced because it's the only park I can hit out of the fence.
Yeah. You need from us like a motion? Motion. I move to approve the rule as currently stated.
Second.
Okay, we are now at public comment on the motion specifically. So if you'd like to come forward, you have 3 minutes and state your name for the record.
Hi, Kelly McElligott. I'm here representing responsible dog owners. Thank you, Mr. Marks, and thank you, Mr. Bitar, for your comments. I don't think this rule is going to address the problem. The problem is not responsible dog owners who are taking their dogs to and from the park for canine recreation and then cleaning up their dogs' business. The problem is unattended dogs, of course. Fencing is something that will need to be addressed before that rule makes any sense to enforce or to make. I see more problems with the rule, although it feels really good to sit and make rules. I don't think it's going to be a functional aid to getting feces off of those fields. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly. Okay. Do we have anyone else who'd like to make a comment, public comment on the motion? No? Okay. Now we can have additional committee discussion.
Yeah, I guess I would just add to that the real, I think fencing is an issue. I do think it could help mitigate this rule. Could I disagree a little bit with the comments? Because I mean, while yes, it's not going to solve it outright, it's a form of mitigation, and I think it'll slow the tidal wave of feces that we've seen out there. And I think that and I've just seen it. It's like landmines. I remember having practice and kids would be grossed out by the balls going into it. I mean, it was just a real thing. But it's really an enforcement thing that really needs to be shored up, but we're understaffed at the police state and they're not wanting to deal with, you know, that's not a high priority thing, right? For good reason. So, you know, figuring that out to some extent, is part of this. I think at some point, you know, addressing it with the city, And Kevin would have some good ideas on that too. But bringing this back to address the enforcement ideas, I think is really important. But it should mitigate it because I don't think dogs are just aimlessly wandering the neighborhoods. It happens for sure, but that's not like the bulk of the defecation going on. I think it's people bringing their dogs, as you said, to that place and just letting them run and then not caring. Because we have a lot of witnesses who've called that out. And that part can, to some extent, that'll still happen, I suppose, without the enforcement. But if they just know it's closed, at least it's easier for police to enforce, if we do fold in the enforcement mechanism later. So it's something. I don't think that was a good argument to not have the rule, essentially, is I guess what I'm saying. But it's a starting point.
Yeah, I appreciate the public comments and Brandon's comments about experience. I think we could each, as representatives of the advisory board, also encourage folks, friends, family, et cetera, but also the baseball players who, or softball players whose animals are running free. And it never hurts to send an email to the leader of those organizations saying, hey, this is just a reminder. And I would encourage that'd probably be in your park, Kevin, to do that. I agree with what Brandon said. I think it's hard to enforce or even encourage self-govern things if there's not rules. But it's a bummer when you see folks breaking the rules that we're trying to create to protect them for. So yeah, I think we could play a role in that. And I think it wouldn't hurt to reach out to those groups and remind them that sometimes it's coming from within, and it would help if they lead in that regard.
I think that we've taken some immediate steps trying to address the problem, and we're going to implement the rule and see what happens, and then we'll go from there. I think the fining, if people are being fined and that spreads and they're being held accountable, I think that'll be a good thing. I think that we can go ahead and have a roll call vote unless any committee member would like to have further discussion. Brandon? Holly, can I get that roll call vote?
On the motion to approve the seasonal closure window at the Vilandri and Keet Gushaheen ball fields from March 15 through June 30th annually. Brandon Marks.
Yes.
Manoj Batar.
Aye.
Catherine Prussian.
Yes.
Steve Black.
Yes.
Candace Rutledge.
Aye.
The motion passes 5-0.
Thank you, Holly. Okay, so we are at persons to be heard for items on and or off the agenda, not to exceed 3 minutes per individual. If you'd like to make a comment, please come forward and state your name for the record.
Crowded room. I'll try to fight for the top spot. Hi again, Kelly McElligott. I am here as a responsible pet owner. I'm also a disabled pet owner, so I really appreciate fully fenced public off-leash areas so that my dog can stay safe. Just for background, I did mention this at the last meeting, but my dog has been attacked on not fully enclosed off-leash areas from dogs that were roaming the neighborhood that were unattended, whose owners just let them out at large. So it's really important to me as a person who has mobility issues, who has all kinds of medical sensitivities, that I have a fully enclosed place where I can be safe and my pet can be safe. With that, I'm a little concerned about the main area that I use, that Upper Kimsham field, being locked. I don't remember in the 8 years, in the 10 years really that I've been using that space, I don't remember that fence ever being fully locked. And I would like to hear more about if that's new, if that's legal, what the precedence is for that. I would like to hear more about
that, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly. I'm not sure about the protocol with... Okay. Do we have any other persons to be heard? This is just for you to speak. We can't have a back and forth. But if you'd like to say your comment, we can think about it. Yes. Go ahead and turn on the microphone and...
My name's Cole. I write for the Sentinel, and I was wondering what you guys, like, what complaints you guys have heard from players or parents, or, like, what brought about this motion to close the fields to dog owners?
I don't know what brought it up here recently, but for years, my kid was playing in dog poop, and there's been uproar with the parents of Little League complaining about it, and it's always been... What's the next step? Where is it going? Where's something going to happen? What's going to happen next? And so this is a step to, I mean, applaud you being a responsible pet owner, but you know there are a lot that are not. So we want to make it safe, clean, sanitary environment for our kids to play in. That's the bottom line.
And just a reminder, since this is public comment, it's just to be heard, but I would suggest going back the recordings online with all the public comment from the last meeting, and you can hear word for word what commented. So, but this is just a person super heard this time.
And if I may, sorry, you're 100% right. And what these folks can do, like, is what Kevin is, since it's such a small meeting, they can just wait a few minutes. When the meeting's over, they can come up and try to ask and see if they have time.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I believe that that brings us to the closing of our meeting. So we'll be meeting in August, August 11th at noon. Thank you.
Thank you.